tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. The program you're listening to is called A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. We stream live on the web, www.107.1com. Of course, somebody had to call as soon as I get on the air, right? You have to get used to me. I talk on radio and I have jokes. That's right. And I have jokes. Okay, then let me start this over again. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You have the opportunity to download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. If you have any questions or comments, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, address 582 Lee Street. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515. Also located in Marion, Ohio, or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month, starting from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Location, once again, Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. No appointment or pre-registration required. Individuals simply show up. Provide your name and number of people in your family. We also have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company, with 25 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number, 740-262-0939. Thank you for your support, as always. I have a thought for you today, and it goes like this. Thought power. Through our thoughts, we are either gaining power or losing it. With pure thoughts, power is generated, and with impure thoughts, power is destroyed. Pure thoughts are those that express our spiritual personality. Impure thoughts are all the other thoughts that you have, okay? They have nothing to do with our truth. Thought is a vehicle which takes us from our non-spiritual self to our truth. I know that was a mouthful to say, but hopefully somebody got the gist of that thought today, thought power. I need to, at this time, turn to my guests for today, and I'm very excited that they were able to be here. I have Whitney Gurman from Ohio State University here in Marion, Ohio, and Johnny Jackson, who is a graduate student from Miami University.
Correct, yes.
Is that Ohio or Florida?
Oh, the one in Oxford, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, that's... my nephew went there.
Oh, really?
Derek Booker, Miami. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure did. He works for L'Oreal now in the cosmetics.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, it does have a good business school.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there, you know, like, wow.
Yeah.
I think he's like close to 40 now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he sure did. And Whitney, so how you been?
Good. We've been good. We've been getting together, meeting, talking, discussing.
Yeah. Been really good. Just talking, really excited about Community Voices. And
yes.
Talking about that, and you know, had the holidays right around the season, so it's the right time to really start thinking about what are we going to do next year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. I got you just in time then, didn't
Definitely.
Wow. So, are you ready for Christmas?
Personally. I think so. I started shopping at the stores, and it was taking so long. So most of it's coming through Amazon this year. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just having a conversation with my niece this morning. She lives in Lumberton. She sends me a picture of shoes that she wants, and I'm like, can I just send you the money? Like, can I just send you the money? Yeah.
Right. I've tried to go, after Thanksgiving. It's just so many people in the store. Yeah. It's so frustrating.
Definitely.
You know? You turn down one, well, here come five people. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, my gosh. How can I maneuver around them?
Right.
I understand how Amazon is closing down a lot of stores. And
that's true,
and
too.
Period, you know.
Yeah.
People don't have the hassle anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great thing. So I guess I'm ready.
All right. So you want us to talk about Community Voices?
Yes. And, it was my first time hearing about Community Voices, I think, when I got the invitation from you. But it's a great thing that we have going on in our city. And just tell our audience a little bit about it.
Okay. So, like you said, I work for Ohio State University, and I work for Extension. So it's our mission to take the research of the university and translate it into knowledge and resources to engage ordinary residents in creating conditions in which they can thrive. So what we've noticed over the last year and a half is, I guess some of the criticism of current programs being offered in our community are that they're not being tailored or designed with input from community residents. Mm-hmm. There's a quote that the disability community has said over and over again, that it's not about us without us. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of taking that simple phrase, and if we're going to plan programs, design initiatives, mm-hmm. that we need to do it with the people, for the people, alongside of them. And that's kind of the premise of Community Voices.
That's true. How can you do, right, and I understand it, how can you do something without us?
Right.
Yeah. You got to include the people. That's great. So how did you get invested into this?
So Miss Tara Dyer, retired teacher, she invited me to come to Community Voices and introduced me to Whitney. And I sent an email asking if I could come along.
Right.
And I thought it was Community Voices, a very valuable program, just thinking about how do we both sustain and empower communities that may not have always been around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up here in Marion. I grew up in Crescent Heights, which is out by the mall. And pretty low-income community, but definitely a community that thrived off of knowing your neighbor and different things like that. So I think that Community Voices is something that might accentuate that old school way of being and existing in Marion,
right.
and empower communities that are already here, that have assets that we can tap into.
That's good. That's real good. And you said only about a year and a half this program started?
Well, yes. I've been with Extension for about a year and a half, and I've always been interested in social justice work. And so when I started with Extension and I looked at the mission, I knew that in order to be successful, we had to restructure a little bit and start a more bottom-up, community-led process. That's what attracted me to Community Voices, and it's really designed to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of different organizations go into communities and ask their input, but then take that data, and we never know what they do with it. So,
right.
Yeah.
What do they do with that?
Yeah.
Just another survey.
Definitely. And I think one of the differences of Community Voices from the workshops that we attended were really thinking deeply about those people in the communities mm-hmm. being the change agents, being the leaders.
Right.
Not just being around the table when we're talking about the data sets
True.
And how we want to empower, but then them being both the face and the feet of the next movement for empowering their communities. So
that's true, because you know, once a person pours themselves out about what they need or what they think would be good for their neighborhood or their children or just relatives,
yeah.
people would like to see results.
Absolutely.
Some type of results about, you know, not just you came to talk to us, you got down these things. And a lot of people just put that into the government just to fund the program.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And those people very scarcely, you know, are helped. And I think it's a great thing that people with feeling. You got to have a feel for people and their needs to have a constructive program for those people. And everybody's not on that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. We're kind of trying to work within our networks, mm-hmm. our skills, and begin tapping into the resources that are existing here right. that just haven't been tapped into before for whatever reason. So it's not just getting their input, but helping ordinary residents leverage what they already have to create an action plan for their neighborhood or their community, however they define it,
right.
And start telling stakeholders, this is what we want, mm-hmm. yeah, instead of the other way around.
That's great. That's definitely, great. Definitely. Wow.
One of the things that we were talking about earlier, Whitney and I were talking about how I think of a place like the West Side, mm-hmm. And how on the West Side we do have Dr. Martin Luther King Park,
right.
and how a lot of those residents in that particular community are either extension of my family that grew up here, or my family knows their family.
Right.
So, like, envisioning things like some of the people in those communities really being at the table and saying, like, well, we want new roads here, mm-hmm. or we need a new community center here, or those community gardens that you put there may not have worked the best for us, but we actually want those things in our backyard.
Right.
So really saying that when we're starting to plan and think about what Marion is going to be in the future, you know, some of those residents really being around the table and saying, like, these are some of the projects that we envision right. coming to Marion.
Right, and they consider that a depressed area. Yep. I just found that out some time ago, and I'm thinking, why depressed? But I guess, you know, people in that little circumference,
mm-hmm.
they don't have accessibility to a lot of things unless yeah. they actually go over the tracks, and it's like the tracks is a boundary,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you either have to go down Silver Street or over Canton Avenue toward West Center Street, and then over that bridge, or go all the way down Canton Avenue where the new one going over to William Forge Road.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, it's like you're confined in this area. There's no stores over there,
mm-hmm.
you know, nowhere to buy clothing or anything like that. So it has been a concern of mine because I live in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's real.
And yeah. it's like, well, what if something would happen? We can't get out. If there's sometimes those trains even
surround
around. Yeah. Can't get out, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm sure not just myself, even consider things that go on around that area or how it looks sometimes. But they've been doing some work around there, tearing
yeah.
down homes that really need to be tore down. It's just really an eyesore for the neighborhood. So, mm-hmm. and we try our best to keep our areas clean mm-hmm. where I live.
For sure.
You know, mm-hmm. yeah, so... and then you think about the children in the school. Go ahead.
That's a great segue when you're talking about the kids in the school. That was Community Voices is just kind of one piece of this big puzzle of mm-hmm. engaging ordinary residents. And we had given youth at Harding High School a GPS device that was camera enabled.
Okay.
And we asked them to take pictures of their neighborhood mm-hmm. and how they access healthy food, how they get around. And what you're describing is really similar to what their photos said and what they presented to city engineers, county commissioners, that the infrastructure is not supporting a healthy lifestyle for us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Our neighborhoods aren't livable because of the train tracks, or we don't have sidewalks, or the nearest right. grocery store is 2 miles away.
Right.
So just any kind of shift in power that we can make through, if it's workshops that we put on or listening sessions, whatever it may look like, just starting to get those voices heard. Because people aren't voiceless. They have a mm-hmm. voice.
Yes, they do.
But we need the ears to hear.
Right. And it's, I'm surprised that even the youth feel that way. You know, like we're in this, we're boundary. We're like bound in this circumference and we can't, you know, we don't.
Yeah.
We have to go way over there to do this and way over there to do that. Marion's only so big. It's,
right.
I guess it's not like you can't go 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away. I guess Meyer Square is like 5.5 miles from, you know, the tracks mm-hmm. on that west side. But it seems like a long way when you got to go through stoplights and follow behind other traffic. But
right.
Or like what our youth are telling us is public transportation is inadequate.
Right.
You know, if you're walking to the grocery store, If you have kids, mm-hmm. you know, how feasible is that? Right. So I know there's some work. I do some work around healthy food access to try to change that. Mm-hmm. Center Street Community Health Center, mm-hmm. they're creating a downtown market, which would increase some access. But mm-hmm. it's those stories from people that have lived experiences that I think can make true change.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. real good. And as you were talking about, like, healthy food choices and things like that, and that announcement I made about mm-hmm. Logos Christian Ministries, and I saw them all on Facebook. Trying to get people to come because their second Saturday of every month was just last Saturday.
Nice.
And I think possibly they don't have enough people coming mm-hmm. to get the food. And that could be a problem when you do have the community coming together and trying to implement programs and things to help people. Then a lot of times people won't take advantage of it, and that can be a problem too, right?
Mm-hmm. About building, you know, as we say, maybe capacity and mm-hmm. getting people to go to events. Like my Aunt Jackie, who is the pastor at Locos, yeah.
Okay.
So my grandmother and her mother are cousins. So I call
What's
her
your grandmother?
My aunt. My grandmother's Willie Ree Goodman. She passed back in 2002. My mom is Etesta Hudson.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you favorite her?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's my mom.
Your mother.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. Do. So, yeah, like just really getting the word out about those community events. We hope that Community Voices is really a hub to have those dynamic conversations
right.
about where those spaces are that are both in need mm-hmm. but also resource rich.
Right.
And really, like, flipping the lens and saying that there are a lot of assets in the community, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of issues, and bringing youth and, you know, adults and maybe the older generations together mm-hmm. and saying, like, well, what are some of the projects that we need? It could even be health food access pop-up of the summer mm-hmm. sponsored by Community Street Health Center and okay. maybe Logos, maybe seeing things that we can team together and think about. I think of, like, the possibilities are really endless. I was saying to Whitney earlier that in the Black communities in which we come from, like, this Community Voice is really like that next iteration. You had mm-hmm. a movement to abolish slavery. You have a movement to abolish Jim Crow. You have a movement against, you know, police brutality and that type of thing.
Right.
But this movement is really about thinking about how do we get communities around the table to access resources and work
right.
together.
Right. That yeah. are available to them.
That are
right.
available to them.
Right.
Or they may need and they foresee coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. That's good. That's good. Because if they're there, why can't we use them? You know,
for sure.
benefit mm-hmm. from them. Yeah. That's great. So when are you thinking about having another session like you had earlier?
We were talking about that. I think, you know, in January we're looking at doing more consensus building among groups that may already be interested in this work. Or, you know, right now it's just been Johnny and I and Tara meeting more regularly to talk about this. But we know there's a network of people that we're not tapping into.
Right.
So I think before moving too quickly, we need to take a step back and find who else are those leaders that are influencers in their neighborhood and how can they connect us.
Right.
So there's a whole array of communities that we
envision.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And as we were talking about earlier, we were thinking about at what point next year we want to get people around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people from, of course, the Black community, but also we do have a thriving Latino community here. Of course, we have a white community here.
Right.
And we have a strong working class community that grows across race and gender. So we really want to think about those communities, whether it's the West Side or the East Side, bringing people together and saying, like, what are some of the projects that you all envision us working on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to this being a bottom-up type mm-hmm. of program,
okay.
is that we're really interested in the regular, everyday person. You don't have to hold a fancy position here in the community already. Really want your voice. If you feel there's some issues in your community and you're proactive and you want to solve them alongside other people, we would love to have you around the table with us.
Okay. So do you interview, like, ward people, like, the head of the ward, I guess you call them ward councilmen, right? Is that
their So Robert Landon has been supportive of our efforts, and he's kind of, he unfortunately couldn't attend the Community Voices training. He had planned to. But he gets those updates from our group.
Okay.
And yeah, we've worked with the county commissioners because they help fund a portion of my salary through OSU Extension. So continuing on engaging those elected officials so that what they're doing is reflective of what people want.
True. And they become aware of the need of the people, because sometimes it just looks like politicians are just putting on the show, trying to get elected, you know, and still the people go unnoticed, you know, once they vote for them. And that may not be necessarily true, or, you know, I'm not trying to say that's just all politicians, but sometimes it just feels like that, you know, we're still left out, nothing's still happening here, you know. So
that's an excellent point. It's an excellent point, because so many times we think of the midterm election or the regular election as the time that we need to get out and vote. I'm just speaking as a person that comes from the community. Well, it could be every day that we're working to better our community versus the one time. I think of democracy in this very wide process. And if every day we're trying to build our community and enrich it, that might be the time that a Community Voices is able to do that. Holding both our community accountable to being better for themselves, and then also the politicians doing a better job of knowing some of the issues that we face day to day. And, you know, it's just like at our jobs. Like, if we have a boss, like, we want them to know what exactly our job description is and if we're really following that, so I think the same thing needs to happen. I think go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I agree with you 100%. You know, we're working together for a common cause.
For sure.
Yep.
You know, and politicians are saying, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and you will have this and you will have that. And then it turns out, well, not so much.
Yeah, that's real.
You know, so I think it discourages people from voting a lot too.
And I think now is the time to have these critical conversations because it's the elephant in the room that we all feel. You know, this program isn't designed to be for one political party over the other.
True.
It's really about bringing people together across race, gender, class, politics, religion, whatever it is. We all live, work, and play in Marion, and we want to make it the best place, so it takes all of us.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Willingly.
Willingly, that's real. Willingly,
working for the good of all of us. And that's what makes the program great. This is for Marion community, period.
Definitely.
No matter where you live, and no matter what your struggles are. And that's what really talks to me the most, because we all have our different struggles in life, you know. And where do I go to get that taken care of? You know, who can I talk to about certain things, you know, that I don't have to feel like they put me out there on Front Street. But, and people worry about that too. Where can I go where I can feel comfortable and let people know where I am and what my needs are? And this Community Voices is great. I think it's great. I think it's a great asset for our city, Marion, here, and I expect it to just grow and grow and grow and grow, because the struggles that we're having, and people say, well, you'd think it'd be over by now, but no, I mean, it's the mindset also of people, and they just find it hard to move on, because it seems like the more they try to move forward, there's more and more obstacles in front of them. You know, and people, then they develop some type of a fear of going forward or trying to do more, because it feels like they keep getting knocked down. And I think this program is also a great encouragement for people.
Thanks. Yeah, we're really hoping it will be.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the one thing I'm excited about is I've worked in different places and I've worked in South Korea for a bit, for 2 years as a teacher, and then I went back for another year and work with Korean teachers on all types of things. Okay. English language learning, and then also getting ready to come here to the U.S. and learn a little bit about U.S. politics and that type of thing. The value that I see in a program like Community Voices is no matter what church you go to, no matter what your income level is, no matter what your race is, right. no matter what your class is, what we're saying is that if you have a certain type of critical bend about what you want to see in your community here in Marion, Ohio,
right.
we want to be an elbow in the struggle with you. Mm-hmm. We want you to come. We want to sit around the table. And we really want to talk about, like, what are the issues that we're facing commonly? Mm-hmm. And then we want the people that are there at the issue to also be there at the solution.
Okay.
So I think that is really key in this program. Especially Whitney has brought on Miss Dyer, Miss Tara Dyer, and then also myself, and then some other key people. And I'm really hopeful on the sustainability about the project.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about what this program looks like. You know, we have books and curriculum, but we want to make it what works for Marion.
Right.
And one thing I tell people is not to think of this program or this initiative as a formula,
mm-hmm.
what step
right.
one, two, and three sure. is. But it's like raising a child. There's not mm-hmm. a right or wrong way to do it. And what you did in the first year might not look the same in the second, yeah. third, mm-hmm. or fourth year.
That's
yeah, so true.
That's real.
So we just invite you to be part of that process and discovery as we build this with our listeners, with anyone on the community that wants mm-hmm. to be involved, and just kind of let it be an art and not get too hung up on all the exactness of it. We will have some solid dates in the spring.
Definitely.
Maybe around March. And if anyone's interested in even helping us plan before we get to that first kickoff event, we welcome input and ideas.
Okay. Okay. Well, that way you can leave your number or email address with them, as you know, during this interview, anytime you want to. And I would hope that people want to be involved. You know, that's what makes a great organization or committee or program work mm-hmm. for the people. You got to be, you know, interested in and put something into it to get something out of it.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I hope there are people who are interested in being a part of it. I know I enjoyed myself when
Did
I
you?
Was there. It was
yeah.
great.
Yeah, definitely.
It was great. It was great. And I learned so much, because when you have a group of people and everyone is taking their turns, you know, sharing what they think we need or what they feel that we're not, we don't have access to, and they're, everybody's giving their opinions and things that I don't think of, someone else thought of,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, and like the structure of the program, I think it was mind-blowing, mm-hmm. it just really was.
Yeah. I've been taking like mental notes about how people conceptualize what Marion could be in the future. I remember, Ms. Sims, I think you brought up the importance of sustainable housing that's local for maybe the older generation.
Oh, I did say that.
Yeah, like in but this idea of housing that you have multiple generations that are there, and how a younger generation, an older generation, living close to each other, benefit from each other. I think Marion has always had that, but that idea was really great, because that's something that we would love for Community Voices to be, is intergenerational, intercommunal conversations about how do we do things around housing, healthcare, transportation, education, that type
yeah.
of thing.
You mentioned that earlier. Transportation is one, because I don't know if we have any Uber drivers in Marion, Ohio or not, because that's something new, you know. Mm-hmm. Do we have any of those?
I think you have to have a certain
number of people
or something
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we have Uber yet. No. But that doesn't mean that you can't start your own local one, right?
Right.
Start your own.
Right. It's a great idea.
Mooper. Marion Uber.
Because the city bus system,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 o'clock, they're done.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Finished. And if you're on second shift or something like that, then you got to pay someone else to take you home, or
to
you
got
to call a cab, mm-hmm. which is a lot more money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But It's a good thought. I thought it was a good business venture for maybe no matter how big your community is, you know, because when your city service has stopped, then what? You know, I don't have a car.
Definitely.
You know, a lot of people don't even want to drive. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't blame them because of accidents and things, you know. They just have a fear of driving.
Yeah, yeah,
and
for sure.
And they need people to drive them around. So I just thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anything is possible, right? Mm-hmm. If you get the right amount of people around and they really would like a service that it extends from, I don't know, 5 to midnight on some type of transportation, we could put our heads together and think about something that could happen.
And that's something, you know, people talk about jobs in our county and, well, there's tons of jobs here that people aren't taking, but we have to consider whether they have transportation to get out to where some of those jobs are.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
The wages of the jobs and what their return on investment would be, childcare cost once you have the job. So it's very complicated. It's not as easy as just having a job opening, but all these other factors that affect people's well-being.
That's a good thought.
Yeah,
you know?
Very good thought.
Because a lot, and when we look at things, if they want to do fast food or Walmart or Meyer Square, you know, they're all out of the city limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so if I get a job out there, where am I? Even Lowe's, you know, places like that, or the hotels, how am I going to get there? I need a job. I want to work. You know, I want to work. How am I going to get there?
Mm-hmm.
And they have, like, hotels have all shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Just about. Walmart's got 24/7, Myers and McDonald's.
McDonald's has a few shifts, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, you know, they have, I don't know if it's just on, it may be out there to the Eastland or on Main Street, McDonald's has 24/7, I think, because it's very busy out there by the stores. But then you got, you know, most of the stores out that way in our east side of town. So yeah, people work out there. They sure do.
Yeah, definitely.
But there's some things to consider. I know you do look at some of the basic things that people need, because you can't fit every need. It gets kind of probably too big.
Yeah,
definitely. And the other part, when we went through our community voices training, some ideas that I had about like things that my community might need, like addressing blighted housing or a local community garden or being able for people to get transportation to and from work, having those ideas and putting them out there, other people in the room also either had a similar idea or they could help me come up with a solution.
Right.
So it could be also a way that community voices could be that space where people are talking about and solving issues, not just short term, but also long term. So that's one of the envisions that I might be able to do, really about networking.
Mm-hmm.
And finding the worth in our communities.
Yeah, I like how you describe that network, because, you know, traditional model is the hierarchy, top down, and we're suggesting kind of this paradigm shift where it's lateral, it's a network, it's a web, so connecting the pieces together to really make a difference, and not being prescriptive in what problem we're going to solve, but first doing some of those listening workshops and sessions and having people talk amongst themselves to identify some common threads.
Right.
And one of the models that we're not trying to recreate the model, but it's been a model that we learned a lot from is a city in North Carolina called New Bern.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to address things like water, pollution, access to good food. Also, there's also prisons, so like people coming to and from prison, and how do we work with a population that's formerly incarcerated?
Mm-hmm.
How do we work with, you know, maybe mothers that are trying to access inexpensive child care,
right?
Getting livable wages.
Yes.
So really thinking about what are some of those issues that are here in Marion that might be similar to a new burn, mm-hmm. but also different, because if we know each other, right. that means we can think deeply and longly about some of those issues, right. and then build power amongst each other.
That's true.
And that's also true. With other people that may have resources.
That's yeah. true. That's so true. I was thinking about babies and child care. That's a big one. That's mm-hmm. like a basic need, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. Because you got mothers wanted to return back to work, that's but real. Then child care is so expensive, some of them just stay home.
Yeah, and I think with CUMI Voices, it is about having a collective impact, that there's not going to be a silver bullet. These right. are complex yeah. social problems. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's one thing to... I guess I go back to the food analogy, because a lot of my work has to do with food access. You know, we can spend a lot of time directly feeding people, but how do we change the infrastructure, the policies, the systems, and the environment? Right. That's going to take all of us.
True. Mm-hmm. True. Good point. Good point. Policies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Policies. Then you get into politics, because that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what I've loved about having Johnny on board is, and Miss Tara, is the historical context to the community. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't grow up here. My husband graduated from Harding in 2003. But just having that long view of where Marion's been, where we are now, and where do we want to go.
Yeah. There's actually a really good segue for another project that I'm working mm-hmm. on. It's different than Community Voices, but it really taps into particularly the Black community here in Marion.
Okay.
We're doing a oral history project so we can understand and learn from the what we call like race and place and space of the Black community here in Marion, and thinking historically, like, where have they been and actually, like, where are they going?
Mm-hmm.
So that project that I've been working on alongside the Marion County Historical Society has been very valuable, because although I know a lot about the Black community here, mm-hmm. it's still really great to learn about different families and where they've migrated from in the mm-hmm. South, and then where they chose to settle in a way, or where they were directed to settle by policy. And then also where they've worked, particularly, mm-hmm. and then like where have they worked due to policy mm-hmm. in general. So that has given me like a historical background on the Black community here in Marion. And then it allows me to think like, well, who are some people to bring to the table with Community Voices?
Right.
This project that I'm working on alongside Whitney.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So how is that going to benefit them? I mean, as a whole, as a community, for the African Americans?
So I see it in two ways. The first way is we talk about the importance of local histories.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, in school, when I went to school at Marion Harding, we weren't taught about local Black histories in general.
Okay.
At home, we were taught a bit about that,
right.
but not necessarily in school. So one of the things that we envision happening is working with a history teacher
mm-hmm.
and Marion Harding to do a local history project with students. That way all students that K through 12 can really learn about Black history here in Marion.
Okay.
The other piece is historically the Marion County Historical Society hasn't really done a good job of working alongside the Black community
mm-hmm.
to curate their narratives, talk about the importance of their establishments like Black churches here.
Okay.
What we want to do is team with the Historical Society,
mm-hmm.
what we're already doing, and then also hold like pop-up exhibits. It could be at a church, it could be at a bar, it could be at a beauty salon, it could be at a barbershop. And then people are able to learn about the histories that they already had, but also people can really feel the value that's here
right.
in the
right.
Black community.
Right.
And I think that runs alongside the value-added projects like Community Voices.
Right.
We want to see those communities with value.
Because it's a source of inspiration.
Definitely, mm-hmm. definitely.
Inspire people. That, you know, you just didn't come from nothing.
Right, you know, right.
These are Black businesses, and they're still, you know, striving today, and you could have a business yourself.
Definitely, you know? Definitely.
And that's where I tried to train mine, my mm-hmm. children and grandchildren. Have your own business. You don't have to work for anybody. That's you real. Know, just do what you need to do to get on your own. And I think we should promote that and push that out there, you know, because you're not at the mercy of someone else always.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. You know, just not. You get a good idea, just like you two have with the community thing, and look. You see what I'm saying? You're up and going, and that's great. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes.
Yeah. And those are some, like, really element of, like, self-determination, but also this collective imagination of what could be and what we could do with a project like Community Voices that really is about working with communities that are really already empowering themselves and thinking about it.
Right.
There's been a history of it, but really saying, like, let's sit down and really power build together, power share together.
Right. Well, you know, we'll have to do probably several interviews.
Yeah.
We love it. We love it.
As we progress, you know, because I see it just getting bigger and better as it goes along, because it's right where we need it to be.
Yeah.
The needs of people and bringing people together collectively, and we can all have a voice and continue, you know, to build our city.
Yeah, do you mind if we leave our contact information or if I can at least mine?
Absolutely.
So if you want to get involved, you can contact OSU Extension, or my name's Whitney Gurman, at 740-223-4040. And then Gurman, which is kind of spelled funny, it's GHERMAN.12@osu.edu. We can get you plugged in. We'd love to have your presence at these planning meetings throughout both of the projects.
And these are family friendly. One of the things that we would love to see is, like, families bringing their children. Like, we really want to see that come to these type of events once they're planned and they're up and running. So
Yep, I brought my daughter once. She got a little hyper at the end, but she had lots of fun.
She was. Because it keeps it, you keep it moving, and you're not tired.
Yeah, they keep us real, because, you know, if it's 2 hours, then it's long for all of us, you know?
It's time for me to eat.
We are out of time. I really enjoyed our conversation here, and I'm sure our listeners did, too. And Community Voices is going to be a big and great community project going on here in Marion, Ohio. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. And like I said, we'll be doing some more of these too after you do your meetings, and then we can come and talk about some things. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For legendary newsman Hugh Downs.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew in a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes did appear but a miniature slave, an 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment he must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, In a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but he went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Happy holidays from our entire on-air staff and crew.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
This is Patty Worcester with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Hi, are you looking for a church that is Bible teaching and Bible believing? I invite you to Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We were at 209 East Water Street. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning. Evening service at 6:30, along with youth group at the same time. We do have a midweek service. You can reach us at 740-494-2222 or prospectccf.com. We'd love to have you come and visit and get plugged in and see that there's true hope for tomorrow and hope in your life. God bless you. Have a good evening.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games.
This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email Scott at WWGH1071.com and watch out for the chopper.
Vanover Square Apartments, address 465 Merchant Avenue, offer one and two bedroom apartments. Phone number
740-389-3462. In the spirit of the holiday season, WWGH Radio will play one classic Christmas song every hour through Christmas. WWGH Radio wishes you and yours a very happy holiday season.
Haul out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking, I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. It hasn't snowed a single flurry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry. So climb down the chimney, put up the brightest string of lights I've ever seen. Slice up the fruitcake, it's time we hung some tinsel on that evergreen bough. For I've grown a little leaner, grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older, and I need a little angel sitting on my shoulder. Need a little Christmas now. Haul out the holly, haven't I taught you well to live each living day?
Fill up the stocking,
my daddy may.
It's 1 week past Thanksgiving Day now.
But we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute.
It hasn't snowed a single flurry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry.
Climb down the chimney, it's been a long time since I've got good neighborly.
Slice up the fruitcake, it's time we hung some tinsel on that bayberry vine.